With you in a moment. I'm going to be speaking to one of Australia's leading psychologists in a moment about anxiety during this time and the sorts of things we should be telling the youngsters in our lives, how we should be helping them deal with it.
Storms are violent. Don't get caught out. When a storm hits, be prepared. Cracked roof tiles will let the water into your ceiling. Help prevent a storm from flooding your house. Make sure your tiled roof is free of cracked and broken tiles and that the pointing is sound and complete across the whole roof. For storm and flood assistance, call the SES on 132 500 and stay tuned to your emergency broadcaster, ABC Radio.
Keeping you entertained and informed. Lucy Braden on ABC Radio Hobart.
23 past five. So it's fair to say it's still a pretty anxiety-inducing time for us all right now, especially knowing that our Premier is going to announce border restriction changes tomorrow. Well, possibly. We don't know. So what is going through the minds of our little ones when they are consuming the majority of the same news that we are as adults? How should parents or teachers be talking with children during this time? Michael Horton is one of Australia's leading psychologists and has some of the answers. Michael, hello. Thanks for your time.
Hello, Lucy. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, you too. How are you feeling at the moment? Are you anxious even as a psychologist?
Oh, look, it's definitely in the ether at the moment. I mean, we'd be, you know, ignoring certain realities if we all didn't feel a bit on edge, for sure. Yeah.
So when it comes to the little people in our lives, we probably all know someone who is a child. What do you say to them? How do you talk to them during this period?
Well, I mean, I'll come to that in a moment. I think the issue, the broad message for parents and for teachers, of course, is to give kids a sense of hope and safety. You know, so we've been here before as a society. Like, I was talking to my mother the other day, and she, you know, had lived through part of the Second World War, and she was describing how, you know, Michael, we'll get through this. But she said the big difference is that nowadays we're hearing it 24/7. You know, we're hearing the information coming at us. Sometimes that's in the media. Sometimes that's from the people around us. And I think my own view is that we've got to be more circumspect about how we speak around kids, if that makes sense. So there's a fair bit of not catastrophizing, but it's not quite at that level, but there's some anxious talk around children, and you know, that's going to affect them. That's the reality, is that, you know, 2/3 of anxiety in children is actually learnt. In other words, they're hearing it around them. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. And it's such a good point you make. It's so different to, I guess, the last war, where there wasn't that information, there wasn't media, there wasn't, you know, the TV constantly being on, things like that.
Yes, my mother can be very wise sometimes. I think
she
really picked it up quite well. But I do think it then comes down to how much do we expose children to problems they can't solve. I mean, there's been some research that's been done over a number of years now that says that young people, for example, who set unrealistic goals for themselves actually are going to be more anxious and more depressed. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, what can my child actually do here? What can he or she control and not control? You know, there's good anxiety, which is, for example, staying 1.5 metres away from somebody and practicing that physical distancing where you need to. That's good anxiety. But bad anxiety is where we give messages to kids sometimes where, well, they can't possibly solve this, you know, and so they're affected by what's in their environment. Just got to be careful.
Yeah, I've taken so much out of that. How much do you talk to your kids about or let your kids see or read things that they can't control?
They can't, and so...
Well, you know, can't solve.
Well, they can't solve it. And so I think there's a tendency sometimes to get, you know, angry at the politicians in front of kids on the TV or, you know, when we're talking to our friends. And I think we've got to be more perhaps circumspect because they are like sponges. They do get energy from us to, you know, they hear words about how worried we are, and it does affect them. So I think that's the reality, is that we've got to be more careful around children, that what they hear, how much we announce what we think.
So is that one of the things you think a parent or a teacher can do? Maybe try and limit the amount of things we talk about around them and media we watch and consume?
Well, it comes back to remember about what you can and can't control. At, you know, 6 and 7 and 8, for example, there are certain things you don't stand a hope of solving, like the pandemic, for example. And so I actually think, maybe it's old school, the kids should be insulated from too much awfulizing or perhaps hyperbole, and that's something that parents and teachers are in control of. And I'm not being Pollyanna here and suggesting we don't talk to children about anything, but I am thinking that it's really important to not give them too much.
When it comes to that individual level, Michael, when a child does come to you and say, I'm stressed or I'm anxious, or maybe they're not saying that, but they're showing those signs and symptoms, what should a parent do?
Well, at an individual level, I would certainly encourage parents to look more at their children. There's some good research to say that eye gaze is actually helps children to self-regulate. And, you know, early eye gaze, which occurs at the bottom of the breast or when the infants are small, actually helps kids to calm down looking at them. And there's less of that happening than there used to be. That's number one tip. Number two tip would be, there's an old saying, acknowledgement is not agreement. And what that means is that you can acknowledge how somebody might be feeling, but you're not necessarily agreeing with what they're feeling. You're just acknowledging it. And I think one of the problems for kids sometimes is that they may not feel heard, or they may not even announce it. Sometimes parents need to say, you know, I'm imagining this has been a bit frightening for you, because you know your children and you know what they like. So you might do that to begin with. But I think ultimately what we need to do is set up, I guess, problem-solving kind of frameworks for kids so that they can solve the problems they can control versus the ones they can't.
Some great advice. Michael Horton is my guest, one of Australia's leading psychologists. And we're talking about the coronavirus, the pandemic, and how anxiety-inducing and scary and tough that can be for the little people in our lives. And this comes as a new study is showing a twofold increase in kids presenting to hospital EDs with mental health concerns, which is pretty scary stuff, but there's some great advice from Michael. And before I let you go, what about for young people, maybe those that aren't, you know, under the age of 10, who might have their own social media accounts? Should we be, this sounds, you know, horrible, especially if they are a bit older, but taking their phones off them of a night so they can have some time to de-stress and not think about all this terrible stuff and access all that information?
Yes. Look, most of the social media companies say that kids have to be a certain age anyway. And I know that kids, younger kids, have got, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I accept that that happens. But I think those guidelines are in place for a reason. And, well, if we're saying that they are affected by their environment and they're seeing a lot of news about the pandemic, you know, 24/7, well, I think we should take some steps to minimise that.
Where can people find more information, Michael, on this?
They can go to the Raising Children Australia website. There's some good resources there. We run a program called No Scaredy Cats, which you can look up just by Googling it. That'd be the two places I go to.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Okay. You're welcome.
Michael Horton there, one of Australia's leading psychologists, talking about anxiety, stress and mental health issues in young people at this time.